May these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The story in which Abraham welcomes the three travellers is a deeply mysterious one. At the 9:30 service on Trinity Sunday, I pointed out that this is a story represented very beautifully in a famous icon by Andrei Rublev. And this story marks a significant turning point in Abraham's life. Up until this moment, the nomad Abraham has been a man of fast-paced, rather frenzied activity, always on the move. He's been faithful in his religious observances in response to the promises of God, sacrificing animals, building altars, and even having the males in his household circumcised. But in Abraham's heart, there remains a restlessness. He's still unsettled and unwilling to trust fully in God's purposes for him in his own life. When God promises Abraham land, Abraham's response is to rush off away from it to Egypt to escape famine. And he makes a fortune there by passing off his wife as his sister and giving her to the Pharaoh. And when again God promises a great number of descendants, Abraham decides that maybe it's better to make this happen himself. And he gets his slave girl Hagar pregnant. It's as if Abraham feels the need to have a plan B, just in case God doesn't deliver. And many of us are just as guilty of that today. We, the church, can feel very uncertain to the number of descendants in the faith that we will have. Attendance at church services across the nation is declining, and knowledge of the Christian story is waning in society as a whole. And those of us with faith can be thought of as deluded or slightly mad. And our church institutions seem to be stretched in a structural and financial way as they never have been before. And so it's quite understandable that as churches, we can be tempted to go into Abraham like overdrive. We may fear what the future holds. We may panic and lose our true sense of purpose. But like Abraham, we remain faithful to our religious practices, of course. But at the same time, what we want sometimes can be first and foremost to salvage our dwindling finances and save ourselves from the spiritual famine which is all around us, threatening our future. We can be guilty of focusing our energies on trying to address these problems as we see them in our own strength, just in case God can't be trusted. We can be tempted to feel we have to make something happen by hatching a plan B of our very own. Yet Abraham changes. God makes a covenant with Abraham. And in today's story, which follows on from that covenant episode, it presents Abraham to us in a different light. Here for once is the nomad going nowhere. He is where he is. He's simply being, simply resting, waiting outside the tent. And like this, he's open to what God might send. So that when he encounters the strangers whose identity is mysterious and unknown, Abraham is able to offer them a place to rest and take refreshment. Suddenly, Abraham is no longer worrying about his own wealth or his own survival. Instead, he's present in the moment. He ministers to the needs of the travellers who come and he offers them shelter. He does rush around doing it, but he is focused on them and on their needs rather than his own plans. Perhaps we should not be surprised to learn that as soon as Abraham is open to these others, he becomes open again to the promises of God and open to trusting them. And when the travellers assure him that his wife will bear a child, he's ready to listen attentively. Plan A is reaffirmed and reasserted, and it results in Sarah laughing for joy. God is faithful in the face of human faithlessness. And I think Abraham's story reminds us that although our plan Bs may offer us important lessons and experiences, more often than not, they can shut us down or make us self-centered. They can prevent us from listening and trusting. They can keep us running and distract us from the real possibilities that God promises us. If we look at the gospel story that we read today, that also warns us of the dangers of getting sidetracked from fulfilling our most important calling. When Jesus is offered hospitality with Mary and Martha, we're told that Martha allows herself to be distracted by many tasks. It's not wrong to offer hospitality, but it's the distraction that is taking her away. She allows herself to be distracted, whereas Mary does the one thing that is necessary. She sits at Jesus' feet and listens to his words. And so both these stories challenge us to identify the preoccupations that so often distract us as churches, but also as individuals, from fulfilling our true calling as God's people. This year of vocation should be a time for us to consider God's call on our lives, to look at where God has placed us and start there, because God is already at work in that place where we live, where we work, where we go to school. We just need to identify what our own plan B is and stop pursuing it. Stop telling ourselves that it will bring us into line with God's plan or that it will bring us the security that we need. Perhaps we're scrabbling up a type of ladder, the property ladder, the career ladder, trying to accumulate more and more. Or perhaps our challenge is holding on to what we've got. Perhaps we're holding on to far more than we really need, just for security, just in case God's plan doesn't work out. However hard it might be to do, we need to throw it out. If we don't, it will carry on holding us back from being who God has created us to be. It will stop us from listening to and responding to Christ's call on our lives, from receiving the good gifts that the Holy Spirit has for us. And it will stop us from joining in with God's work. And so let us pray for the humility to see our plan Bs, for the expressions of fear that they truly are, and ask for the faith and courage to look beyond and beneath them to the true purposes that God has in store. Amen.